We turn to the chapter we read in Paul's epistle to the Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1, and we shall read again the words in verse 6. Ephesians chapter 1 at verse 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Amen. This chapter is full of the precious doctrines which concern our salvation. There is so much here that we should consider and think upon frequently, because we're edified by the truth, we're encouraged by what we read, pointing us to Christ, reminding us of what we owe to Christ, and sound doctrine is very much the need of the church in our day. No such thing as dry doctrine. God's truth is relevant in every generation, and rightly understood, every truth will lead us to the Savior. Even when we think of the truth of man's sin, and not many like to preach that or think about that today, it is preached in order that those who hear of it and consider themselves in the light of it would then consider Christ, because their need of the Savior is being made known to them. So we have a wealth of doctrine in this chapter, and we have a precious doctrine in the verse we have chosen. And the theme of it is acceptance with God. There are those in this world who are accepted by God, and they're accepted by him in a particular way. And again, it has to do with Christ. We read here of one whose name is the Beloved. And that, of course, is the Son of God, the Saviour, Jesus Christ. Paul is writing to the Christians at Ephesus, and he describes them as the saints which are at Ephesus, and the faithful in Christ Jesus. That's not what they once were. You remember how in the Acts of the Apostles we learn of Paul's visit to Ephesus. And it was a heathen city and culture. And what were the people doing there in religious terms? What was the focus of their worship? Well, they had their goddess. Great is Diana of the Ephesians. They were in such darkness spiritually that they were bowing down to a literal idol and putting their hope, such hope as they had, in this idol. But the gospel came with power, and the Lord in his great mercy delivered the Ephesians from their thrall, set them free, and he received them. That's what he does with each one of his own, through the gospel of Christ. We were singing in Psalm 110, "Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power." There you have the work of the Spirit of Christ, sent by the Saviour into the heart of one of his own, one who was far from God, one whose thoughts were hardly of God at all, but light entered in, And the will was set free. And because of that work by the Spirit, that gracious work, we call regeneration. Being born again. A new nature. And all who believe the gospel, repent of their sin, come to the Saviour, they are accepted with God. And in such a way that they will never be cast out. You see, that is our comfort here this evening. Many things try us. Many things grieve us about ourselves. How prone we are to temptation and the ways of the world. How little our faith seems to be. Will we endure? Or will we perhaps stumble and fall, never to rise again? No. If we are in Christ now, we are in Christ forever. There is acceptance with God, and it is the Lord who has brought it about. In a sovereign way, we have the words in verse 9, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. The free and sovereign grace of God coming to his people and revealing itself in this, that we are accepted with God. Well, let us consider this with the Lord's help. And firstly, to note the background to this truth. We read there, he hath made us accepted in the Beloved. And that tells you something. It's saying that by nature, we are not accepted, not acceptable to God. We're not in the realm of his favor according to our nature. Indeed, in terms of what we are by nature, there's everything to displease God. And our sinful nature is hateful to God. Commonly we hear the idea that we're all the children of God. Perhaps by that people are saying we're all one and the same race. That may be true. But there is a division among humanity. One that the Lord has made. By nature, we're fallen, we're condemned, and we're liable to eternal punishment. And there's none that stand out from that. Wherever you go, that's what you find. And it may be in a place like Ephesus. Maybe in a place like North Eurist. The Lord has made the difference. Verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ, to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. The adoption of children. So we are not all God's children by nature, but some are adopted by God as his children. The same theme is there in chapter 2 and verse 3, where we read, that we were all by nature the children of wrath, even as others. The Christians in Ephesus, that's how they were. That's how we all are. But there is the adoption of children. And that's an act of God's free grace. That's something the Lord has done to magnify his grace. It's part of the riches of his grace. Sin brought about the separation between God and men. sin in Adam. And that separation is only confirmed by our own actual sin. If we belonged to God, if we enjoyed His blessing, His favor, if we knew His love, surely we would be living in a way that was according to the will of God, revealed in His Word. But by nature, children of wrath, by nature dwelling in spiritual darkness, by nature having a heart at enmity with God, we're separated. We're not walking in the light. We're going after the pleasures of sin. And that's how it is, and that's how it would ever be if we were left to ourselves. There can be no fellowship with God while we are alienated. And that's something that people should remember. You often have the thought, well, I'll make my peace with God when I come to my dying day. I'll think about it then. I'll sort out the matter then. As though coming to God, bringing our needs to God, was something we could do by an act of will in an instant, just as we determine at a time of our choosing. It's not like that. Not like that at all. Our nature corrupt, and no good thing can come out of it. And the act of drawing near to God and calling upon His name and making our request known to Him, that must come from the Lord by His grace. Must be the power of the Spirit. Cannot come to the Lord without that. We have to be drawn. And the Lord's drawing of His people to Himself, for it's an act of His infinite power, and only by grace are those who are far from God by nature brought to Him, that they might have fellowship with Him. No communion with God as we are in and of ourselves. And the conscience is surely telling people that. If we're in a state of nature, sin and misery, the conscience is going to be challenging us. It's going to be warning us. It will be reminding us that we are accountable to God, that a day of reckoning is coming. But we're not fit to stand in His holy presence. And we are condemned already because we have not believed upon the name of the Son of God. Especially the conscience will be telling us that if we're under the gospel and we haven't bowed the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we wonder sometimes, do we not, how there can be those who sit in God's house and they're hearing these things. The gospel is being preached to them. But they seem to remain as they ever were. So the conscience has fallen asleep, as though there is a hardening within. And they need to know that they are not accepted in the Beloved, unless and until they have exercised faith, saving faith, which is the gift of God. That then is the background. We have to begin there. We have to paint the dark picture. And only then does the light of this wonderful truth appear to us in its splendor. So we have the background to this truth of acceptance with God. He hath made us accepted. We who were not accepted in our natural state. We have secondly the basis of our acceptance. He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Friends, that is the only way. Do we not know it? How many deny it? So many religions in the world. Christ may have a place, but he does not have the place. Men will try to come to God on some ground of their own choosing. Their good works. Their religious duties. Their sorrow for sin, even. Well, many are sorry for their sin because they've been found out, because of the shame it has brought upon them. But they do not think of the dishonor they've brought to God. How they've offended His Majesty. And that's a great thing. And the infinite demerit we incur by our sin. There is this great gulf. And how can it be bridged? And the vanity and the folly of anyone who would imagine, I can go to God. I can come on the basis of what I perform. What I am worth. No, it cannot be on the basis of anything that originates with man. There's no way to God there. There is only one way of acceptance with God. In the Beloved. And the Beloved is Christ. Why is he the Beloved? For he's beloved of God the Father. Because he is the eternal Son of God. He is a divine person. This is the one that God has provided. He took our nature. That was necessary. If a way was to be opened for sinners such as we are to come to God. And in our nature, he purchased redemption for his people. Beloved of God. We have those occasions recorded in the Gospels. When the voice came from heaven. This is my beloved Son. In whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. There at the baptism of Christ. There on the Mount of Transfiguration, these testimonies from on high, no greater testimony than this, that God the Father declared this concerning his Son. And we've heard it. We've believed it. So many go on as though they've not heard it. And do not believe it. They do not see their need of Christ. It's as though they do not believe that he is the way, the truth, and the life. Oh, we firmly believe that. We who have had a sight and sense of our own sin, our own unworthiness before God, we believe that he is the only way. One mediator between God and men. In the Song of Solomon, We have the voice of the church. That's the nature of the song. The bridegroom and his beloved bride. Christ wonderfully declares his love for the church. Love for the people, unlovely in themselves. But the church also declares her love for Jesus Christ. And chapter 5 and verse 9. What is thy beloved more than another beloved, O thou fairest among women? What is thy beloved more than another beloved, that thou dost so charge us? My beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. Then you have a wonderful description of the bridegroom, of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're seeing in it the perfection of his humanity, joined to his divinity, which makes him so suitable as a mediator. And it comes to this: his mouth is most sweet, yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. And we add our amen to that. This is our beloved. That's our testimony as the Lord's people. Trusting in the merit of the Redeemer. That's what had happened in Ephesus. We read in verse 12 of our chapter that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. And he says in verse 15, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. The acceptance is on the ground of the perfect obedience of Christ, Son of God, in our nature. In him we are justified. We're reckoned righteous. His obedience is imputed to all who believe in him. So when God looks upon us, he sees us as we are by faith in Christ Jesus. And he sees us in that way always and ever. He never sees us in any other way. Well, he sees our sin in terms of his knowledge. But in another sense, he does not see it. He's cast it behind his back into the depths of the sea. Their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. In terms of his covenant, in terms of his relation with his people, it's all blotted out. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. And you know that, do you not? Because you have peace in your conscience. Because your heart is kept in peace in Christ Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord is dwelling in your soul, witnessing with your spirit that you are a child, an adopted child of God, through Jesus Christ. And that is a most glorious thing. And the way in which the Lord accepts his people means that nothing but nothing can undo that acceptance. Not the world, try as it might to draw us aside, to have us go after its own ways, thinking as the world does, speaking and acting as the world does, nor our own flesh. Often we think that the sin that remains in us is capable of separating us from Christ. Well, that is the tendency of every sin, but it will not happen because there is atonement for our sin. Because Christ has paid for all our sins. And however powerful that you feel the old man to be, however alive the old man seems to be, we are crucified with Christ. We're dying to sin, and we're living to righteousness. God's way in sanctification is that it does not happen in an instant. He works, and he works again, and he works again. And we're involved in that. Now we're exercised in faith and in the word and in prayer because our desire is to be more like Christ, the one in whom we are accepted. And as we go on, well, we get tokens of God's favor. We get assurances of his love. We get the promises blessed to us. Once in Christ forever. In his mighty hand. And we're never going to be taken out of that hand. And the devil, well, he seeks whom he may devour. And he's tireless in that. And you know that, do you not? There are seasons in the Christian's experience when the devil does not seem to leave the Christian alone even for a moment. Other times it's as though he's gone. But he's only departed to return again at a time when he thinks he will be able perhaps to capture us off guard and wound us. The devil is always seeking whom he may devour. But the devil will not devour the Christian. He may spoil the Christian's spiritual comfort, disturb his peace, cause his joy to be diminished, his hope to be less bright than it was previously. But the devil will not devour the Christian, swallow him up, snuff out that life of God which is in his soul. That is an impossibility. We are accepted in the beloved Jesus Christ. And of course it is to the honor of Christ that he keep his people. Keep them he will. He will lose none of his. And that brings us thirdly and finally to the blessings. of acceptance with God. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved. It's all part of the riches of divine grace. And being accepted, which is itself of grace, blessings follow. They come in the train, as it were, of our acceptance with God. We're not thinking so much of earthly blessings. God gives his children those. He sees that we do not go without. We have a portion of this world's good for which we ought to be thankful as his children. It's the reconciliation of sinners to God. It's the acceptance of the sinner in Christ Jesus. And the word accept has the idea of pursuing with grace, surrounding with favor, enriching with blessing. So it's a word to ponder when you read here and are able to apply it to yourself. Accepted in the Beloved. Remember what it signifies. That God follows you with his grace. We receive grace for grace. God is about you with his favor. And the Lord is crowning you with the blessings of salvation. It is of interest that the word accepted is the same word that the angel used when he told Mary that she was highly favored. And perhaps much mischief has been made by some of Mary and her position. And it was the will of the Lord that she should give birth to Jesus Christ. But in terms of her being highly favored, she enjoyed first and foremost the same blessing which belongs to all the people of God. She was a sinner saved by grace. She was accepted in the Beloved. Wonderful thought there. That she was accepted in the One, the Son of God, who came into this world in the mystery of the Incarnation and made of a woman, made of Mary's substance in terms of his human nature. Accepted in the Beloved, highly favored in Jesus Christ. It's true for you and for every one of God's people. It's all for the sake of Christ. Holy and a just God accepts sinners, even the chief of them, and he lavishes his grace upon them. You have it in the chapter. Adoption. And all that that signifies. A child of God. And you have redemption. You have election. It's all to be found in what Paul writes here. To be treasured by us. and to make us love Christ the more. Or do you see that your interest in salvation is in and through Christ, the only way to God? And does it not encourage you in terms of your Christian life as you begin each day and drawing near to God in prayer? You're going to God in Christ. We're accepted in the Beloved when it comes to prayer. Worship. Remember that. Drawing near in Jesus' name. And because it is in Jesus' name, full assurance. Exercising faith in Him. Trusting in His merit. And at the end of the day, when you lay down your head to sleep, in the watches of the night, you're accepted in the Beloved. You may not be conscious of anything going on, but you're still in Christ. And that's a great blessing to consider. It's not so much that we by faith have laid hold of the Saviour. It's that in eternity the Lord laid hold of us, gave us to Christ, and then the Lord in time sent His Spirit to give us new life. Alive from the dead spiritually. And now in Christ, in such a way that we are partakers of all the riches of God's free and sovereign grace. Accepted in the Beloved. May the Lord make us aware of it in terms of the privileges which are connected with it. And in terms of this, that we can never be separated from the Lord. We are His for time and for all eternity. May God bless His word to us. Let us pray. O Lord, we seek grace to enter into these things. We pray that the blessedness of the believer's position in the Beloved Jesus Christ will be known and understood by us, and that we will have all the comfort that flows from that knowledge, and that in return we will love the one who is beloved and worthy of all praise and all honor. Bless us. And take from us all the sin that hinders us, even in our worship, for Jesus' sake. Amen.